We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas David ben Menachem Rosh and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyo. We're in Beit Perek Dalid, Mishnah Vav. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no tell Adam Kesam Mishelefanov, Lachatzos Bo Shinov. Rabbi Eliezer says a person who can take a Kesam, a twig, a sliver of wood that from right in front of him, Lachatzos Bo Shinov, in order to clean his teeth. Use it as a toothpick. Now Rabbi Eliezer holds that even though the wood was obviously designated for a fuel, for firewood. It doesn't mean you can only use it for firewood, since it's not muk. So you can use it for any purpose, such as picking your teeth, which is the case here. Now, the Mishnah says, Mishelefanov, which sounds like that it has to be something that's right in front of him. So the Bar Tanur points out, Umishelefanov lav davka. It doesn't have to be only the fun of. Rabbi Eliezer, af min ha-chatzer nami mutar lito. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can take any piece of wood from the chatzer, from the front yard, dekamar kol masha b'chatzer muchanu, because he holds that anything in the chatzer is muchan. You know I mentioned the fun of? Goes to the chachamim who argue and hold that only mishelefanov is okay, and only for the purposes of lighting a fire is it okay to use the wood and not to pick your teeth, because they hold that eitzim are only designated for firewood and no other reason. So therefore, don't take lefanov literally. Other rishonim learn a little bit differently, but we'll learn like the Bar Tanur and others. Rabbi Eliezer says, no teletam kesam, from anywhere really, lachatzos bo shinov, to use it to pick his teeth. Umegabev min hechatzer umadlik. Not only that, he says you're permitted to gather splinters or hay from the front yard. Remember, this is not the karpaf in the back, which may be a little bit of a distance. This is the chutzner, this is the front yard that everybody uses. So that's certainly that which sits in the chutzner is certainly more muchan than that which would be in a karpaf, which we mentioned in other Mishnayos. So he's allowed to gather hay or splinters from the courtyard, umadlik, and use it to light a fire. And even though these are not right in front of you, and they're not piled up, nonetheless, they're in the chatzer, and therefore they're considered muchan, and you can use them, according to Rashi, for any purpose, really. According to Tosus, only for fire, and we should take the Mishnah literally when it says umadlik. If you're gathering it already, the splinters and the hay from the chatzer, according to Tosus, only for firewood, not for any purpose. But then the Mishnah says, shekol masha b'chatzer, muchanu, because anything in the chatzer is considered prepared. It's right next to the house. Nothing there is muksa. And therefore, don't confuse this with that which we learned when we spoke about, as we said, in the karpef. We came to the conclusion that halacha says that you needed two requirements. You needed the wood that we spoke about to be piled up, and you needed it to be in a karpef, in an enclosure. And if it's strewn around, it's not good to eat him in a karpef. That's okay, that's the karpef. But this is the chatzer right in front of the house. That which is in the chatzer, Rabbi Eliezer holds is muchan. V'chachamim omrim megabev mishelefanov, and this is where lefanov is taken literally. You can gather the wood from that which is in front of you, umadlik, and kindle a fire. Now the chachamim argue Rabbi Eliezer on two issues. Number one, you can gather that which is only in front of you, which is, he doesn't mention the chatzer. Rabbi Eliezer was one who said, kol masha b'chatzer muchanu, migavei mishelefanov, according to Chachamim, rather, means that anything in the house is okay. Not in the chatzer, mishelefanov. So that's the first thing. Not everything in the chatzer, but only lefanov in your house. And number two, umadlik. You can't use it to clean your teeth. You can only use it for firewood. According to the Chachamim, since, let's say, hay and wood, the splinters of wood, they're very small. So we assume that gathering together from the chatzer, that involves tircha, and a person doesn't necessarily have in mind that he's going to use those, and therefore we classify them as muktzah. Now, we have to remember, previously we spoke about using an object, and we said, well, oh yeah, if you have, let's say, remember we spoke about that piece of pottery or that piece of wood, I want to use it to prop up a pot or for the door. So we said over there that if you have something that's considered prepared for one purpose, it doesn't mean it can be used for any purpose. We had that before. So the and yet over here we speak about the fact that I have this wood. It was designated for firewood, and you are allowing me to use it for other purposes. So that sounds like the Mishnah is following the opinion. Remember, we spoke of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Sounds like that that our Mishnah, which is following Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to the Chachamim, forget Rabbi Eliezer, according to Chachamim, which is the majority opinion, they say, oh, you want to use it if it's in front of you, yes, in the house. Umadlik, it can't be used to for your teeth. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Are you telling me, but we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, we pass against Rabbi Shimon, you're going to tell me this Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So Tosus says, based on that question, and we like our Mishnah to follow the Psak Halacha like Rabbi Shimon, who's more lenient when it comes to Muksa, who should allow, according to the Chachamim, you to use the fire, to use the wood even for your teeth. We don't split Muksa according to Rabbi Shimon, he's more lenient. So therefore, you have to understand the Chachamim, who say that it's not allowed to use the word for any purpose is not based on muktzah, but based on the fact that if I allow you to use this piece of wood as a toothpick, so maybe you're going to actually take off a piece of wood from another piece of wood. You know, you see a piece of wood and this is leaning off. Oh, that's a great toothpick. I'll pull it off. That is making a kli. That certainly would violate Yom Tov, and that's why we would have to be strict. And therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's a problem. Perek Daled Mishnah Zayin. Ein motzina sa'ur, lo min ha'etzim, v'lo min ha'avanim, v'lo min ha'afar, v'lo min ha'mayim. You're not permitted to produce a fire, not by using wood, not by using stone. Let's say you're rubbing two pieces of wood together or two pieces of stone together. V'lo min ha'afar, not from earth. They have hardened earth if you dig it, so maybe it'll produce sparks. V'lo min ha'mayim, that's where you're using, a glass dish, and you put it in the sun, and you put water in there, and that's able to attract the rays of the sun, and it can light things on fire. You're not going to do that on Yom Tov. The Chiddush, of course, is that even though Havara is allowed for not only for Ochel Nefesh. Mitoch says I can use Havara for even a non-Ochel Nefesh purpose. As long as there's a Yom Tov purpose, I can only light we always remind ourselves for Yom Tov, I can only light a fire from an existing flame. The question is, why is that? All the other malachos, Hotzah and Shechita, we don't differentiate. We say if the malachos allow, the malachos allow. So why can't I ignite a fire? So there are two basic reasons for this. Number one is that maybe an Issa D'Rabbanan, because it's molded, it looks like a malacha. When you create a new entity like fire, it looks like a new creation, it looks like a malacha, and therefore we try to avoid that activity. And others claim, no, that this is malacha, maybe an Issa D'oraisa to ignite a fire, l'chatchila, and that's because it's something I could have done before Yom Tov. When it comes to the shechita, so it changed, the animal's not going to be as fresh, and it comes to other activities, I couldn't do them at the bishul, I have to do that on Yom Tov. But it's not going to change anything. If I light the fire before Yom Tov, it won't change anything. If I lit the fire before Yom Tov and I light a fire from an existing flame, the fire is going to be the same. So since it could be done before Yom Tov, there's no hetzer to do Havara to ignite a fire lechatchila on Yom Tov. Then Mishnah says, "Vei melabnin es ha'ra'afim litzlos bahen." Are you not permitted to heat tiles in order to roast on them? The Gemara says on Daf Lamed Daled that we're talking about new tiles. And the reason you have to heat them is to make them hard and make them, and this way they're completed. Their kli is not complete at that point. So if you heat them in such a way, that's considered makeh b'patush. You're making a kli, and that's why that's a problem. Vodamar Rabbi Eliezer. Omeid Adam, that this ode really should be connected to Rabbi Eliezer from the beginning of the Mishnah of Vav. Vodamar Rabbi Eliezer. Omeid Adam ala muktzeh. Erev Shabbos Bashvius, a person can stand next to food that is that's muktzah, or in food that's muktzah in an enclosed area where it's muktzah. Erev Shabbos on Friday, Bashvius in the Shemitah, you will see why that's important. V'omer says, Mikan ani ochel lemachar, I'm going to take from here tomorrow. And v'chachamim omer, they're more strict in order to avoid the muktzah problem and make it mukhan, ad you show me, Omar. You have to mark it off and say, Mikan va'ad kan, I'm going to eat from here until here. So what's this about? So we're talking about mix, when we talk about muktzah here, we're talking about fruit, And we're talking about specifically the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Mem Hei speaks about this, that this is a category of mukta that's food, but even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's mukta. Now, generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon, who's the lenient opinion, he assumes something is a kli, it's a kli. That's fine, it can't be mukta. Something that's a, unless we talk, you know, mukta machas is chesron kiss. Something that is a food, how could food be mukta? We mentioned the fact that if I have food designated that I'm going to sell. Rabbi Huda says that's mukta. Rabbi Shimon would not say that's mukta. I could take the bottle of wine out of the cellar and use it on Shabbos, even though we seem to have been designated for sale. But this type of food, even Rabbi Shimon is going to be mukta. That's what we call grogros vitzimukim, dried figs and raisins. What does it mean? It means that you put fruit on top of the roof and you want it to dry out in the hot sun. So when you put it up there, it's perfectly fine. It's raw fruit. It's fresh. You could eat it. When it's done in another 6 hours, so then it's dried fruit, it's wonderful. But 3 hours into it, so now it's not really edible. No one's going to eat it. It's not raw, it's not fresh. No one's going to want to eat that. So that type of food, grogros vitzimukim, that's a category of even food that Rabbi Shimon would say is going to be muksa. So that's what we're speaking about here. Here we have food that's set aside. It's going through the drying process. And therefore, that's why they are considered a mukta. Now, mukta may even be whether it's the food, according to the Rambam, means the area that was set aside to dry the fruit. And therefore, so that's the discussion in our Mishnah. Now, the fruit we're discussing here have been dried at least to the point where they're a little bit edible. Some people we need a b'shas hatzchak, if necessary, aha. And therefore, what the owner is doing is he's declaring, I have intention to eat them the way they are. This is before Yontif, Erev, that's what it says. Or Erev Shabbos, rather. And therefore, he's preparing them. You're not, you know, to say I'm going to eat from them when they're not edible, so that's a whole other story. But either if somewhat edible, without this designation, it would not be good. It would still be mukta. But he stands on this area on Erev Shabbos and says, I'm going to eat from him, mikan ani ochal. Now, why do we mention the Shemitah year? So we know during the Shemitah year, everything is hefker. And when it's hefker during that year, you're putter from trumos and masros. So any fruit that grows during that year, you can eat without separating anything. And that's what we're discussing over here. Now, people don't usually take trumos and masros before gemar malacha, as we've mentioned. Every food has a gemar malacha state, and therefore the fruit that we're talking about put out in the sun to dry has not had trumos and masros taken from it at all. Now, Tevel, we know you're not allowed to eat if you have food that hasn't had Trumas and Masos separated from it, and you're not allowed to separate Trumas and Masos on Shabbos. So the fruit we're talking about is, we'll say here, it's a non-issue, because if it's Tevel, then my designating it is not going to help at all, because I didn't separate Trumas and Masos. And that's why we mention the Shemitah year. We mention the Shemitah year because I don't need to separate Trumas and Masos. I can remove the mukta status by merely designating it, because Trumas u'Masos is a non-issue because it's the Shemitah year, and therefore that's why we mention it. It's Erev Shabbos in the Shemitah year where I didn't separate Trumas u'Masos because at this stage no one does, but don't worry about that. By Shabbos tomorrow, I'll be able to eat it without a problem because I removed the mukta status, and there's no Trumas u'Masos problem of separating, which I can't do on Shabbos because I don't have to because it's Hefker, it's the Shemitah year. Had I separated Trumas u'Masos prior to Shabbos, let's say, so then the same issue would be here. I could designate it before Shabbos as long as I separate Trumas u'Masos at this stage, and then I could eat it tomorrow. But we mentioned Shvius, the Shemitah year, because we want to avoid that problem. So anyway, so that's what the Mishnah is saying. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you say mikan ani ochel lemachar. He doesn't have to say which fruit he's going to eat from. A general statement about the fruit is going to be sufficient to remove its mukta status. V'chachamim omrim, no, you have to be more specific. Ad sher yushom v'yomar. You have to actually mark it off, the mark of the fruit or the area. I'm going to eat the fruit from here until here. He has to make a mark to say which fruit he plans on eating. And if he doesn't do that, So then that is not considered that it's been designated. In fact, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion of Yesh Breira, that we do accept the concept of retroactive clarification, which means that tomorrow when he takes the peros on Shabbos, we can say Huvar Hadavar L'Mafreya. We can say that retroactively, these indeed is the fruit that he had in mind to designate. Chachamim say Ein Breira. No, Ein Breira, you can't assume. How do you know this is the fruit he designated? He just said, I'm taking from this area. That's why when you mark it off, that's why it's necessary. Mikan va'akan ani yochel l'machar, because they hold Ein Breira, and therefore we'd have to be specific about the fruit. Now, we have to remind ourselves, remember we spoke about designating the birds. We spoke about the Chachamim seemed to be more strict than even Beis Hillel. By when it came to the birds, Beis Shammai was more strict. You have to be Zev Zev. But Beis Hillel said, no, Mikan, you know, from this area, I'm going to take the birds in this area. So it sounds like the Chachamim are more strict than Beis Hillel. What's the difference? So the difference is that when it comes to birds, what does the owner need to recognize the birds that I designated? Okay, he usually, you know, I designate the two or three. I know exactly, which birds that I designated Erev Yontif. There they are. I recognize them tomorrow. Fruit, you have tons of fruit sitting here all over the place. So will you be able to tell the difference between them? So that's a good question, right? Will you have that ability to do that tomorrow? That's a good, especially talk about a number. How many have birds? It's a little bit easier. You have a lot of fruit, so that may be a little bit more difficult. So and therefore, when it comes to fruit, I have to be more specific. And when it comes to birds, so I don't have to be as specific according to the Chachamim and Beis Hillel.